Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, and welcome to Show Talk with Angela Butler. I'm your host, Angela Butler. Tonight we have with us Mr. Paul Hunter. He's going to be talking about his family, and a very unique family at that. So we're going to go into some commercials, we're going to come back, so don't leave the internet. Stay tuned for Show Talk with Angela Butler.
Let's get down to business. So you're having that company function or business function, and you need the proper services to get that business menu pumping. Okay, here's the solution. Call Exquisite Barista Services. Exquisite Barista Services has the experience to create a signature beverage for your business or organization. Services also include barista training, custom beverage menu creation, food and beverage pairing, and so much more. Visit Exquisite Barista Services online at www.exquisiteexpressinc.com or better yet, call 210-701-0143. That's 210-701-0143. Don't take your chances on the other man. Get that grand plan and choose Exquisite Barista Services.
All right, listener, you've been listening to a commercial by Exquisite Barista. Don't forget to cater to that business if you are so inclined to, and tell them that Show Talk with Angela Butler sent you. Let's go into our next commercial.
When you're searching for the latest news on entertainment, the economy, business, technology, and creative arts, choose
the Digital Conglomerate Magazine.
Not only do they give you all the latest information, but they're there for you 24/7, baby, giving you the 411 and all you need to know, baby. Visit the Digital Conglomerate Magazine online. Just Google us, baby. We're everywhere.
Good afternoon. Again, and welcome to Show Talk with Angela Butler. Today, listeners, our guest is Mr. Paul Hunter. Paul Hunter is the 19th child of Miss Louise Hunter. Miss Hunter is the mother of 21 children. Hello, Paul. How are you doing?
I'm doing okay. What about yourself?
I'm doing okay this afternoon.
Okay. Well, thank you for having me on today.
You're more than welcome, and welcome to Show Talk with Angela Butler. Now, Paul, I have to ask this. This is one of the questions that they posted to me and to my email address and to Facebook. People want to know, were all your mother's children single births?
Most of them were, but she only had one set of twins, and those twins were stillborn.
Okay. Are all of you still living? I know you said they were stillborn, so of course not all of you are living, but could you, you know, answer
well,
that again?
There is, my mother had a total of 21 natural children. There are 18 of us living today.
There are 18 of you living today?
Yes.
Okay. So, is your mother still alive? And if she is, I know she is, but I'm just asking, how old is she?
Yeah, my mother is still alive. She is 78 years old, and she is still active today.
Still active. Oh, that's wonderful. How many grandchildren does Ms. Hunter have?
There's a total about over 65 grandchildren and over 61 great-grandchildren. And also we have there's another generation that has is which we call the great-great generation.
Okay.
The grandchildren.
All right, large family, very large family.
Yep.
Okay. Growing up, what was your family like?
Well, growing up, it was a very difficult life for my siblings, and I think it became difficult when my father passed away when I was 8 years old. So I only had 8 years with my father, and life took a dramatic change because you know, without the father in the home, there's a void there, and it was a void in our family because we miss our father so much.
Okay, I understand that.
So we struggle. We really struggle financially. We really did struggle financially because when my father was alive, he worked two jobs to provide for the family.
Okay. Did your mother and dad, did they really want, they wanted that number of children? Were they some type of religion or something, or was it just the way it was? I mean,
you know, talking to a lot of my older siblings, and they will always say that they couldn't keep their hands off each other. So I think that, you know, I don't know if they wanted a lot of children, but it's just, you know, back in them days, it happened. It happened. You had a lot of big family that was 10 and 12 and 15.
Yes, I understand that. I come from a family of six children.
Okay.
I'm the oldest.
Oh, okay.
Are you the first of your mother's children to attain a bachelor's degree?
Yes, I am the first one. I am the 19th child out of 21 natural children. I'm the first one to obtain an associate's degree and then went on and got my bachelor's degree at Upper Iowa University, which is a great school.
Howard University. Oh, okay.
No,
all right.
Upper Iowa University.
Upper Iowa, okay.
Yep, Upper Iowa University.
Okay, all right. What did you major in?
Business administration. I have my bachelor's in business administration.
Oh, okay.
So while I was in school, I was able to write a book. And I wrote the book, and the title of my book is No Love, No Charity, The Success Story of the 19th Child.
Okay. So you have written a book. All right.
Yes.
Would you like to tell the listening audience a little something about the book, The Success of the 19th Child?
Well, the reason why I call it the 19th Child, the reason why I call it No Love, No Charity, The Success of the 19th Child is because my mother, she had a homeless shelter, and the name of the shelter was Love and Charity, homeless shelter. And inside of that homeless shelter, it was a lot of confusion, a lot of abuse there, and people that were living there, they did not receive any love or any charity whatsoever. And so I wanted to shed some light on my life being associated with love and charity because my mother put so much energy and time into love and charity instead of putting that energy into her family. And it brought a lot of confusion into our home, and we didn't have ample time to spend with our mother because she was so focused on love and charity, love and charity, love and charity. And so it was embedded in her head that, you know, love and charity is her God. Love and charity is above anybody, even her children. And so I wanted to write the book to tell the people that, you know, I came from a very difficult life, a dysfunctional family, and in spite of all of that, I persevered. And so it gives people hope that you can make it. The book is shocking. The book is revealing. The book is inspiring. And that's the reason why I believe that people need to go out and get this book. You can purchase this book at any bookstore, Barnes & Noble, you can get it. You can get it at Amazon.com. And you can go to the website, which is No Love, No Charity, The Success Story of the 19th Child.
Okay. You said that your family was dysfunctional.
Mm-hmm. The
In what way?
And the reason why I say that dysfunctional is because after my father, you know, after my father passed away, and we were my mother became a single mom. You know, she did not believe in education. She would constantly put my siblings and myself down. She did not want us to succeed. So anytime that she had the moment to belittle us and put us down, she would do it. And so as a parent myself, I don't do that to my children because I learned from my education that you don't beat your children up mentally, physically, and spiritually. But what you do in the process, you build them up. And so I, as a parent, I build my children up. I don't want what happened to me, you know, to carry on to my children that I dearly love.
Now, your family has been in Ebony Magazine, to name one. I believe you've been on the Tom Joyner Show.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
So we have been on Fox and Friends, which is a national television show. We have been on the Tavis Smalley Show. Roland Martin Show. We've been in Ebony Magazine, Today's Gospel Magazine. We have been in a lot of publications. And so those publications gave us an opportunity to really, bring the Hunter family story to the national level.
Yes, it has been brought to the national level. I've seen, what type of work did your mother do?
She was involved in Love and Charity, which is a homeless shelter. She was a director of Love and Charity, and she still is today the head person at Love and Charity Homeless Shelter. You know, when Love and Charity started out, when I was in the womb of my mother, which was 42 years ago, it was a great place to come for people. You know, because Love and Charity is in the city of Racine, Wisconsin. This shelter was the first shelter in the city of Racine. So it has some great history. It started off with great history, but it's ending in bad history.
Okay. Why do you think that is?
Well, because my mother is of age, and she doesn't want to give up her leadership role, her director role, her head role of Love and Charity, and that's the reason why that the city of Racine has started a new shelter 10 years ago. They started a new shelter, and everybody now is going over to that new shelter instead of, you know, Love and Charity, because when you're dealing with homeless people off the streets, some of these people are homeless because of unemployment, because of this recession that we have, and some of them are homeless because of drugs and alcohol and because they have some mental issues. So they cannot, Love and Charity cannot give them the help that they deserve compared to Halo, because over at the shelter, new shelter here in Racine, which is called Halo, they have psychologists and people in place to help those individuals that are in need.
So, your mother, your mother, husband died. Your dad died when you were 8 years old. So your mother was left to raise how many children at that time?
18 children at that time.
18 children at a time, all by herself?
All by herself. Mm-hmm.
Oh, my.
So it was very difficult in the home, very difficult, because we grew up dirt poor, and I resented people that had both parents in the home that had nice clothes, and I had to go to school. A lot of my siblings and I, we had to go to school with, you know, dirty clothes, go to school hungry, because, you know, we had a large family. And I resented that because I wanted that.
Mm-hmm.
So today, you know, looking back on it, you know, it made me a better person, because I don't want my children to have that same feeling that I had when I was growing up.
All right. Okay, we're going to go to a break. We have with us Mr. Paul Hunter. We're talking about his family and his mother, and just giving a little insight onto what's going on. He's talking about his life in a family of 21 children, 18 are living. So we're going to go to break, listeners, and we're going to come back and finish the interview.
A special event can be very challenging and stressful at times. Our staff of professionals organizes your event down to every last detail, no matter what size. Our creativity and attention to detail turns your ordinary party into an extraordinary event. And Decline provides world-class service. We coordinate quality events. We can provide travel arrangements, accommodations, event sites, caterers, florists, photographers, transportation, hairstylists, and makeup artists, daily lighting rooms, and pre-event information such as detailed maps, save-the-date cards, and invitations. Being a custom event planner means that we cater to you. It is our job to find the best possible way to present your event. We have been referred to as Dreamweavers. At-risk youth is defined by statute as a child under the age of 18 who meets at least one of the following three requirements: is absent from home for at least 72 consecutive hours without parental consent, or is beyond parental control such that his/her behavior endangers the health, safety, or welfare of the child or any other person, has a substance abuse problem for which there are no pending criminal charges relating to the substance abuse. At Camp Penny, we have found that at-risk youth struggle with complex issues and scenarios that are brought on by peers, mentors, family members, and difficult social environments. Camp Penny understands the increased complexity of today's at-risk youth, hands-on parents. Camp Penny works with nonprofits and federal agencies to find solutions. Today's youth are exposed to a variety of negatives, making them more at risk to injury, academic failure, and poor health. Teens who are likely to be more at risk are usually those that do not have a strong support system at home and in the community, as well as teens who are not coping well with the different challenges that they are facing. So what sorts of programs will Camp Penny have? Camp Penny will provide outdoor activities as a main feature of the camp. There is no sitting around getting bored at Camp Penny. The girls will eat a well-balanced and healthy diet, then get outside for some well-planned and highly beneficial programs. Just the Camp Penny location is a real boost for our children. The beauty of nature may not have previously registered with many city-bound kids. Out in the wilderness, the teens get to commune with nature, observe the wildlife, and tackle challenging physical tasks. That will build their self-confidence and their muscles. If you would like to help or become a volunteer of the Camp Penny project, please contact us at client@camppenny.org. Let's save our daughters.
When you're searching for the latest news on entertainment, the economy, business, technology, and creative arts, choose
the Digital Conglomerate Magazine.
Not only do they give you all the latest information, but they're there for you 24/7, baby, giving you the 411 and all you need to know, baby. Visit the Digital Conglomerate Magazine online. Just Google us, baby. We're everywhere. Let's get down to business. So you're having that company function or business function, and you need the proper services to get that business menu pumped. Okay, here's the solution. Call Exquisite Barista Services. Exquisite Barista Services has the experience to create a signature beverage for your business or organization. Services also include barista training, custom beverage menu creation, food and beverage pairing, and so much more. Visit Exquisite Barista Services online at www.exquisiteexpressinc.com or better yet, call 210-701-0143. That's 210-701-0143. Don't take your chances on the other man. Get that grand plan and choose Exquisite Barista Services.
All right, listeners, you're back to show. We're back. Show Talk with Angela Butler. We have on the phone with us and on Show Talk with Angela Butler, Mr. Paul Hunter. And I'd like to remind the listeners, if you get an opportunity, if you're so inclined, cater to some of those businesses that were just advertised, and tell them that Show Talk with Angela Butler sent you. That's where you heard them. Heard the advertisement at. All right, Mr. Hunter.
Yes.
You were talking about, you know, how you felt your family was dirt poor. Was your mama very religious? Your mother?
Yeah, she was. Too extreme when it came to religion. You know, she didn't really get good teaching in that era. She didn't really get good basic teachings of the Bible compared to today where people can basically kind of, you know, teach themselves because we have access to the internet, you know, DVDs, and, you know, technology has changed, and the churches today are better prepared than in the past because of the tools that we have today. And so, you know, her, you know, she was into, you know, praising God, but she wasn't into going under anybody's leadership to learn anything because she didn't want to learn anything from nobody. She's a type of person that said, you know, well, God told me to do this, and so I'm going to do it. But as you listen to her, is always the statement is, God told me to do this, God told me to do that. And growing up as a child, you believe it, but then you say, you know what, now I'm an adult, that if God told you to do it, why isn't it failing? And I learned that God is not a failure. He's a winner.
Okay. So when your family was in Ebony and on all the different radio shows and everything, mm-hmm. how did that make you feel?
Well, it made me feel that what she was saying was a lie, that we were a close family. No, we're not a close family. You know, it's sad today because I'm her 19th child. I'm the baby boy, but I have two sisters underneath me. And in 2005, I graduated from Gateway Technical College here in Racine, Wisconsin. The day of my ceremony, I dropped off two tickets for her to come to my ceremony. She did not show up at all. So when I went to the shelter after the ceremony to see why she did not show up, you know, she came up with all of these excuses. that, I didn't have no clothes. I was busy doing the Lord's work. And I asked one of the guys that supposedly had taken her to my graduation, and he has confirmed that she indicated that I'm not going to his graduation. He's not important to me. I have this homeless shelter. This is what's important to me. So, you know, my mother, when I was there, came downstairs, and I had my cap and gown on, and I wanted to take pictures with her. She refused to take pictures with me. I had to literally take pictures of the homeless residents at that time that were living there. And so, okay. But before I left that shelter, she tried to give me some words of encouragement. She said to me, she said, son, a child is not supposed to be successful in life until their parents are deceased. That stayed in my mind, in my spirit, until July 2011, and I was having a conversation with a mentor of mine, and I asked him, I said, what would you think if your parents would have said those words to you? And he said to me two things. Either they're jealous of me, or they don't want me to steal the spotlight from them.
Okay. So it seems like, to me, that you have resentment towards, a little bit of resentment there.
You know what? I'm going to be honest with you. I did have some resentment in my heart because you don't say that to your child. You just don't say that to your child. You want to be supportive of your children no matter what. You know, I have four children myself, and I graduated in May of 2012. My kids live in San Antonio, Texas. My daughter graduated in June from high school. So I had to take a flight all the way to San Antonio, Texas, because I love my children and I want to be there for my children.
So I understand.
In the process, what brought healing into my life was in the process of writing the book, No Love, No Charity, The Success of the 19th Child. It's about I'm dealing with rejection. You know,
okay.
Go ahead.
What I was going to say is that with a family so large, so many brothers and sisters and everything, and it's, you know, I myself as a woman kind of understand your mother. But I'm not going to go into that.
Okay.
In what state were you born?
I was born in Racine, Wisconsin.
Okay. All right. You're born in Racine, Wisconsin. Okay. What are the holidays like for you and your family?
Reunions. Do you know that we had a family reunion for the first time in 2 years? 2 years ago, we had our first family reunion. Isn't that strange?
Yeah.
Where we finally got it together and came together, and it was a great time because you meet relatives that you have never seen in your life, especially, you know, on your dad's side.
Okay.
And on your mom's side.
All right. So is the family becoming closer?
You know, I am close with my siblings, my sisters and brothers, because we always talk all the time.
So that's a good thing. That's a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
So it's obvious that your mother's a very strong woman because she ran a show. She had 18 living kids, I believe, had 21 kids and 18 are living. She has to have strength and believe, and she would have to believe in God, I mean, to get her through. I think it's remarkable that she started a shelter.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's remarkable.
Yeah, it is. It is, because like I indicated earlier, it was Love and Charity is one of the first shelters established in the CRAC.
Yes. Okay. So you're the 19th child, and I hate to seem, you know, but I already told you I was going to ask this question. Do all of your siblings and you have the same dad?
No. When my father met my mother already had three little girls. So they got together, got married, and my father and mother had 18 plus the three that my mom had by a previous relationship.
Okay. We're going to go to another break. We're going to come back and talk some more to Mr. Paul Hunter.
When you're searching for the latest news on entertainment, the economy, business, technology, and creative arts, choose
the Digital Conglomerate Magazine.
Not only do they give you all the latest information, but they're there for you 24/7, baby, giving you the 411 and all you need to know, baby. Visit the Digital Conglomerate Magazine online. Just Google us, baby. We're everywhere. Let's get down to business. So you're having that company function or business function, and you need the proper services to get that business menu pumped. Okay, here's the solution. Call Exquisite Barista Services. Exquisite Barista Services has the experience to create a signature beverage for your business or organization. Services also include barista training, custom beverage menu creation, food and beverage pairing, and so much more. Visit Exquisite Barista Services online at www.exquisiteexpressinc.com or better yet, call 210-701-0143. That's 210-701-0143. Don't take your chances on the other man. Get that grand plan and choose Exquisite Barista Services.
All right, listeners, I'm encouraging the listeners to go out and find Urban Spice Magazine. The owners of the magazine are Mr. Reginald Lewis, Mr. Terrell Wicker. They have an Urban Spice paper edition that comes out, that's already out. Also, they have an online magazine called UrbanSpice.mag. UrbanSpiceMag.com, excuse me. If any of you are interested, I have an article in there on a health and wellness article in there. So those of you who want to are inclined to look up the magazine and if you like, purchase one. All right, Mr. Paul Hunter.
Okay.
Your mother is obviously a very strong woman, like I was saying. How does she feel about all the publicity she receives?
Well, she, when it comes to...
How do you think she feels? I mean, 78 years old, and, you know, it's remarkable, so...
Well, you know, once Ebony and all the other news publications did the story... She was very impressed that, you know, that her story would get this huge, gigantic exposure of her life, you know, as the mother of 21, you know, natural children, 18 living. So she was impressed.
Mm-hmm. I can imagine. It must have been awesome for her. That's the word
mm-hmm.
I use, out.
Okay.
All right. Why now about the shelter? Your mom decided to start a shelter to help people. And I think that is wonderful. What is the oldest, what is the age, do you know the age range of your family, your brother and sister, the age range?
My oldest sister is Elizabeth Terry.
You don't have to give the exact names, but the age range.
From 58 is the oldest all the way down to 40, the youngest.
Okay. 58 to 40. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So you're writing your book, and the name of your book is, say it again.
No Love, No Charity, The Success Story of the 19 Child. You can get it at Barnes & Noble's, Amazon.com. Any bookstore, you can get it. You can also go to the website, which is www.nolovenocharity.com, www.nolovenocharity.com.
Okay. Are you the first of your siblings to write a book?
I am the first to write a book.
Okay.
In my family.
Well, maybe one day they'll turn it into a film.
Yes. Anything can happen, you know. If the book gets into the right hands of the appropriate people, anything is possible.
Yes, anything is possible. That is true. So you're the 19th child, as I keep repeating. Could you explain what it was like being the 19th child? I mean, because I know there had to be good moments.
You know, being the 19th child is kind of awkward, you know, because you know my sisters and brothers that have oldest kids, they always tease my sister. And myself, because they say the baby kids are the most bizarre kids, you know, the awkward kids in the family. You know? So
<Okay. laughs>
they will always, you know, tease us about being a baby boy or being a baby girl because they always doing things unorthodox. So they did it. They said those words when we were young, and they continue to say it today. And so, you know, I sit back and I just laugh when they say that. And because now that they have kids and they have baby kids and they tell, you know, their kids, you know, especially the baby ones, you know, they tell them the same thing, and I just sit back and just laugh at them, you know.
Okay.
I get a kick out of that. But, you know, as a 19 child, you know, growing up, there were some great times and, you know, there were some difficult times. But you know, I don't hold any animosity toward no one in my family. You know, I don't have no resentment in my heart toward anybody in my family, because when you hold on to a lot of hatred and resentment, and it kind of destroys your ability to persevere in life. And as a young man today, I had to release a lot of, you know, hatred and resentment and bitterness. If I did not release that, I wouldn't have been able to write the book.
Okay. All right. So you've wrote your book, and where can the listeners go to find your book?
Like I indicated earlier, you can go to any bookstore in America and ask for the book No Love, No Charity, The Success Story of the 19th Child. And the author of the book, which is myself, it is Paul Lamar Hunter. You can also go to my website, which is NoLoveNoCharity.com. NoLoveNoCharity.com. It's a great book.
Mm-hmm. So, you have no resentment or anything like that, and that's good. That's real good. What type of career do you have? I mean, you have a bachelor's degree. What is your career?
Well, to be honest with you, I have my bachelor's in business administration. I'm in the process of starting my own business. I want to get into public relations. I want to do public relations. So that's what my goal is. And so I'm going to be committed for the next month is committed for the next month and setting up my own business. So that's what I'm going to be doing, public relation work.
That is wonderful. That is wonderful. I applaud you. And I applaud your mother for raising all her children. You know, it must have been hard with her husband having passed and everything. It must have been very hard for her.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it was difficult.
But I'm sure there were plenty of good times, too, in your family.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. You have four kids of your own.
Yes.
That's good, too. That's wonderful. Is there anything you would like to share with the listening audience? Anything you would like to say? I know you said that your mother had all single births except one set of twins and they died. Is there anything that wasn't covered in this interview that you would like to discuss or talk about?
What I really want to say to people that is out here in this world, that no matter where you come from, and it could be your bad environment that you are in at this particular moment, you have to stay focused. And you have to keep in mind, it is not how you start out, it is how you finish. You know, there are people that today tell me all the time that I never thought that you would graduate and have an associate's degree. I never thought that you would graduate to have a bachelor's degree. I never thought that you would have a book out. And so people will look at situations and say that, you know what, it is impossible for this guy to accomplish this. But I believe I accomplished it because I have faith in God. I believe in God. I pray every day. And for young people that are listening, you got to have a personal relationship with God. It's not how you start off in life. Keep that in mind. It is how you finish.
Okay. All right. That's wonderful. That's a wonderful. That's wonderful what you just said. So it's not how you start off in life. It's how you finish. That's great. That is great. Is this going to be the only book that you write on your family, or is this going to be your only publication?
No, this is not going to be my only publication. I'm working on a book at this time. It is finished. The manuscript is finished. I have to get my editor to look over things because since I'm a 19 child, I want to write 19 books and then shut it down, retire. That's what I want to do. I want to write 19 books and then shut it down.
What type of books are they going to be? Mystery or adventure?
The book that I got coming out, the title of it is that you can succeed in college. Anybody can succeed in college. And what I want to do is share my tunes on how I succeed, how I had succeeded at Upper Iowa University. And I want to share that with high school students, and I want to share that with college students, and I want to share it with adults that may be contemplating about going back to college. And I want to share some tunes of what they need to do to prepare themselves to build up their academic skills.
Yes. That's a good thing. That is very good. We're going to go to another break, and then we're going to come back.
When you're searching for the latest news on entertainment, the economy, business, technology, and creative arts, choose
the Digital Conglomerate Magazine.
Not only do they give you all the latest information, but they're there for you 24/7, baby, giving you the 411 and all you need to know, baby. Visit the Digital Conglomerate Magazine online. Just Google us, baby. We're everywhere.
A special event can be very challenging and stressful at times. Our staff of professionals organizes your event down to every last detail, no matter what size. Our creativity and attention to detail turns your ordinary party into an extraordinary event. And Decline provides world-class service. We coordinate quality events. We can provide travel arrangements, accommodations, event sites, caterers, florists, photographers, transportation, hairstylist and makeup artist, daily itinerary, and pre-event information such as detailed maps, save-the-date cards, and invitations. Being a custom event planner means that we cater to you. It is our job to find the best possible way to present your event. We have been referred to as Dreamweaver.
Show Talk with Angela Butler. This is my interview with Mr. Paul Hunter. Mr. Paul Hunter is one of the first people in Miss Hunter's children to graduate with a bachelor's degree. I applaud him on this. I applaud you, Mr. Paul Hunter.
Thank you very much.
You're more than welcome. So you were born in Wisconsin. Is that where most of your family is, Wisconsin?
Well, some of my siblings were born in Vicksburg, Mississippi. Some of them were born in North Carolina, Kingston, North Carolina. You know, those were the first, the first 10. But the second, group of 11 were born here in the city of Racine, Wisconsin.
Oh, okay. All right. So you know your family is famous, of course. Your mother is considered a strong woman, a courageous woman.
Yes, I know that.
You told me something during the phone call we had, that your mother refused government assistance for her shelter?
Yes, because she doesn't want to receive government assistance because she has this church, or you want to call it a religious service at the shelter. And so when you're receiving government aid, you cannot force religion on an individual. You just can't. Because, you got so many people walking into the doors of Love and Charity that may be Pentecostal, that may be an atheist, that may be Catholic, that may be, a Lutheran. You got all of these type of religion. You got people that are agnostic, So you can't force religion on them, and she knows that. So that's the reason why she refused federal grant money from the government.
Okay. All right. Well, that's if that's the way she wants to run a shelter, then I understand her reason for refusing that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. So do you know how many nieces and nephews that you have?
Oh no, I don't. You know what? It's difficult for me to know that, and to be honest with you, I was visiting a college, Gateway Technical College, which I graduated from in 2005, and I am an alumni. I was down there last week, and I had to sign in. But before I signed in, it was a young lady that signed in, you know, before me. And as she signed in, I noticed that her last name was Hunter. So I went over to the young lady. I said, "Your last name is Hunter?" She said, "Yes." I said, "Who is your father?" And she said, "My father is Greg Hunter." I said, "Do you know who I am?" And she said, "No, I don't know who you are." I said, "I'm your uncle. I'm your Uncle Paul."
Oh, my goodness. Okay. All right. So you met your niece in college. Okay.
We had a conversation and everything. It was fun, you know, and so we began to talk. But I do not know a lot of my nieces and nephews because we have a huge family.
A huge family. I can understand that. Yeah, I can understand that being the oldest of six kids. I can understand that myself.
Mm-hmm.
Coming from a rather large family. So basically, you wanted to talk about your books and everything. Were all you born in a hospital? Can I ask that? If you don't want to answer, you don't have to.
All of us was born in the hospital.
Okay. The reason I asked, I was born by a midwife.
Yeah. And, you know, back in the days when my mom was growing up, it was common back then. You know, in today's society, different generation, most people go right to the hospital.
Mm. Okay. All right. So, all right. Is there anything else you would like to add or share with the listeners? We just about covered everything. If there's something that you feel like you just want to express or get out, you can.
Well, I just want your listeners to go out and purchase the book. Go out and get the book at Barnes & Noble or Amazon.com. This book is inspiring. It will change your life. Go out and get the book. No Love, No Charity, The Success Story of the 19th Child. The author is Paul Lamar Hunter. All I want you to do is just go out and get the book.
All right. Okay. Well, Mr. Hunter, I thank you for agreeing to do the interview and for contacting me, even though it was kind of by mistake. If you contacted thinking I did something else, I thank you for coming on Show Talk with Angela Butler. You're welcome to come back to the show, and I'm going to conclude the interview.
All right. Thank you very much.
All right. Thank you. All right, listeners, that was Mr. Paul Hunter. He was talking about his book and his life growing up in with his family, and I hope you enjoyed the interview as much as I did. It was very insightful. I'm going to play some music, and then we're going to I'm going to end the show.
Sweet, no, it ain't easy.
but I'm never patient. Everything that I'm used to disintegrating right in front of my face, cause he's sick of hating. Too many grown men stuck to be the savior and counter our natural configuration. This is supposed to be of the one nation under the groove of them about to be facing. Force in dead decavity, and all of a sudden got you mad at me. With a grab in the barrel mentality, a dog eat dog, I'm killing us actually. You can talk a little shit when you rap at me, but there will never be another that will speak after me. Change will come, but it'll be gradually. You might not see it, but know that it's happening. I go outside and look at the sun and wonder why we just can't be one. But before I go blind, I close my eyes and visualize and realize that we're already one.
by Donovan McCrary, the brother of Darius McCrary from Family Matters. Thank you for listening to the show.